You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
From downtown Oshkosh and WISS, of course, 97.9 FM WGBW in Green Bay area and 98.3 in Appleton, the Civic Media app, 1100 AM, 1590 AM, 38 in Green Bay, 37 in Appleton, 36 in Oshkosh, high in the upper 40s today with showers. We didn't mention it's Steven Seagal's birthday today, and I saw a thing where he was picked as the worst person to work with in all of Hollywood. The worst person to work with.
And not one person disputed that.
No. Saturday Night Live did a thing. Yeah. He was the worst guest they ever had.
Wow. He is a
Did you see that?
He's a weird dude.
He's that weird guy who wants to almost be the character he plays in the movies. Yeah. He's become that guy.
Did you see a picture of him lately?
Yes. Yeah. Bizarre.
That dude's like, what, 350, 400 pounds?
Yes. Yeah. Bizarre.
And I just always think it's funny that we sit here talking about other people, It's like, look at us. You know?
Well, he isn't. I don't think he's talking about us right now.
Right.
But he.
Wow, way to put down our guest, Ian.
I've got a face for radio.
He was talking about you, Ian, not us. But
isn't he like, is he like banned out of the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just like a crazy
chilling
guy.
In Russia or something?
Yeah. Haley Joel Osment, he did not have a good post.
No.
Yeah.
After career. He said, I see dead people.
Yeah.
That was pretty much it.
That
for
was,
him.
He never topped that.
Nope.
Who is Charlie Hunnam who turns 45 today?
You know what? I specifically wanted to share that one, and now okay. I can't remember who he is.
All right. Ian,
so
who
there
is
you go.
That?
Yeah.
No idea.
All right. Well, we're with Ian Wenger. He does not know a lot about the birthday list today, but he knows a lot about crafting brewery and beers. Fifth Ward Brewery. I struggle with the word. Fifth Ward Brewing Company, part of the top craft pick. We're on our last call for this. You brought it. I got to say, the one thing that I've been so impressed with you folks is your marketing. Everybody that we're dealing with, cool labels on their cans, cool swag in their gear. Yeah. That's a big part of your image, isn't it? You guys, it wasn't just, okay, not just, but I mean, let's create some great beers, but let's make sure we market the hell out of this in other ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially the Craft Beer Week stuff specifically. I got to give a lot of credit to Discover Oshkosh for helping us put this all together.
Not Pat Tracy. Don't give him credit.
The whole crew down there. They do great
work. When he comes in a few minutes, he's going to give himself credit.
Oh, boy.
So it's just piling on, Ian, with that guy.
I can't wait to see the outfit he's got on today.
It's awesome. I can imagine. Amazing. I got to bet there's a lot of bling in that.
Yeah, but no, so, you know, they do a really good job at just sort of kind of hyping this whole thing up, and it's got a really clean, great look, the Craft Beer Week stuff. But yeah, I mean, as a craft brewery, you know, it's really about setting yourself apart with great beer, and, you know, the whole image, I think, and the vibe of it all kind of comes along with that. So the cool merch, you know, the cool labels, the whole nine yards.
There's a cool whole genre of young people that have really got in on this ground floor, and you've taken it over, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's change it from the inside out.
Exactly.
Let's make it happen.
So the packaging, who is that? Is that internal, external?
Yeah, so I do all the labels, actually. I took my biology degree and applied it to an Adobe Illustrator.
You really got a biology degree?
Yeah, I graduated in UWO here in 2013 with bio degree, and that's kind of how I got my interest in fermentation.
I was going to say, I could see some things coming hand in hand with that.
Yeah, definitely. The general chemistry, things like that. But obviously, you know, branding, marketing, outsourcing that stuff's pretty expensive, and as an owner-operated business, you know, we want to keep as much of that internally as we could to save costs, and also just kind of keep the, as you mentioned, the brand, keep it all kind of on one common thread. So yeah, just kind of download Adobe Illustrator, and over the course of a few months, like watching YouTube videos and whatever, sort of taught myself the basics.
I got just Tyson a quick text we just got here. I absolutely love Fifth Ward, cool vibe and staff, great brews, Rich.
Love it. Thanks, Rich.
Is that your partner?
No, it's it's my so what, my dad's.
With this, there's a lot of not competition. Yeah, there's a lot of competition. Yeah, we'll just sure. use that yeah. word. But there's a lot of craft brewery beers out there.
Yeah.
Tell me about you're the scientist or let's say the chemistry degree.
Mm-hmm. Brewmeister.
Brewmeister. Yeah. Tell me about the test marketing. Like, how does that work? Is it you and your partners, or do you have focus yeah. groups? Do you do you blind know. Testing?
Do you need people to volunteer?
So the beauty of what
the
we
breakfast
do,
club.
Yeah, right. The beauty of what we do is we're small enough that we don't necessarily have to latch on to the large kind of national trends and things like that. Obviously, it's something that we watch. We want to be informed, and we want to make sure that we're kind of heading in the right direction of that. But most of it really is just sort of getting in the market and tasting the beers, especially locally. I think that the coasts, obviously, with a lot of things culturally, tend to move a little bit, you know, a few years ahead of what, you know, the middle of the country here. Right. So kind of watching what they're doing in California, especially with craft beers, sort of the mecca.
Now, if I can go back a little bit with the craft beers when they first started, it was like, and I wanted to embrace them, mm-hmm. but you'd order one. It's like, I just don't like this.
Yeah.
And because they were all so bittery and of whatever. Okay. And then you'd have other people said, oh, I like the timber of this with the, yada, yada, yada. And it's like, okay, I don't know them well enough to appreciate some of this stuff. But then they started coming out with a lot of different types of things, and fruit became involved and different things. So when did that, do you know what I mean? When did it turn from?
Yeah. I mean, historically, there really were a few waves. You know, craft beer, I think, got its start with a lot of, believe it or not, it was a lot of soldiers coming over that were stationed in Europe, kind of after the Korean War, Vietnam, that sort of stuff.
And okay, I can see that.
They were drinking all those really, really high-end German beers over there, those classically produced. When they got back here, they realized they couldn't get good beer like that anymore.
Probably tasted boring over here, right?
And that was sort of the era of homebrewing starting too, right? And a lot of that first-generation homebrewers were the original craft brewers then, right?
So you
were, you know, the Sierra Nevadas, the Sam Adams, you know, here in Wisconsin, we have Lakefront, you know, that they've been around for just about 30 years now, I believe. So it's a lot of these, that first generation. And then, then you fast forward to early 2000s, and I think that's sort of that era of race to is make it as bitter as you can. You
right.
know, it was how many hops can you jam into this IPA? And that kind of seceded, you know, like sort of washed away a little bit too, and we had a little dip in the mid 2000s, and then right around 2010, 2015, I think things started really ramping up, and that's still kind of where we are right now, is pushing the limits. You know, we're learning a lot of new hop varieties and flavors too. We got a lot more tools in our toolkit than they
but
did.
But thank you that I'm not the only one where it's like, I know I'm supposed to like this back there. And it's just
no, I mean, that's the beauty. You know, there's a beer for everybody out there, so you don't have to like one. You know, we have 22 beers on tap at our place and a few extra ones in cans at any given time. And so there's, you know, I promise you there's something there for you.
That's awesome.
And you talked about right now the fruit is.
Yeah, definitely. So like we do a lot of fruited beers. We've definitely gotten pretty well known. We call them fruit nannies because it's a hoot nanny of fruits, or, you know, it's sort of, it's a party of fruits in that can. But something that we noticed over the past few years, because we're using such high volumes of this fruit, is we're really sensitive to the prices of that sort of stuff. And it really comes down to like environmental stuff. So about 2 years ago, they had the droughts and the fires out west, and there was a huge spike in berry prices, right? So like raspberry, blackberry, those sort of things. So that year we did a lot of tangerine beers, a lot of, you know, like, pineapple, you know, using some of these, the fruits that were on the cheaper end. And last year happened to be a really great year for berries. So this year we're doing a lot of berry beers because prices down. And
do you come up with your own recipes?
Yeah. Yep. So we did a lot of homebrewing ahead of this. And before we
got to be a lot of experimentation.
It really is. And, you know, we used our, for the first few years that we were open, we had a little like one keg system that we'd test recipes on. At this point, we kind of know the ingredients, and we know, you know, how much is too much, how much is not enough of certain ingredients and flavors and hops and whatever. So we kind of have a better grasp on that. And kind of to your question too about the recipe development and stuff, it's doing a lot of like back end research before we sort of jump in. You know, we're kind of keeping up with the new trends and the techniques and things like that that other brewers are using.
So when you come up with the secret sauce, do you patent that? Is that yours, or could
No. And, but you know, I always tell people, like, you know, we couldn't brew Guinness. They could show us everything, the whole nine yards, you know, we could source all their ingredients. We could do everything, but they make it there and we make beer here. And geographically, there's something about it. The water we're using, you know, beautiful Lake Winnebago, we're using Oshkosh City water, you know, and it happens to be really, really good for brewing for our purposes and what we do. But no, I've given my recipe to other brewers, actually. Just, you know, they like a beer. You know, like I said.
We talked about it before we went on the air. I think it's great how you guys, I don't know if it's the youth or if it's the confidence, whatever it is, you guys do work together.
Yeah, definitely. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, the industry is craft beer. You know, the craft beer drinkers, we believe, really appreciate variety. You know, and so, you know, we have a lot of our own beers, but, you know, if we're getting people coming from out of town and things like that, you know, they're coming up to Oshkosh, they're going to Fox River, they're going to Bare Bones, you know, they're checking out some of the craft beer bars in town, you know, and they're coming to our place. So we're all benefiting from everybody having their own individual thing while all being in the same industry. You know?
That's awesome. Just Todd?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, because Oshkosh has a long history of beer making, right? Beer creating. Yeah. Do you ever feel any responsibility because of that, like with what you're doing?
Yeah,
or
definitely.
Are you tied into that at all?
Well, as a matter of fact, so when we were coming up with a name for the brewery, Fifth Ward is actually a nod to a historical brewery here in town. It was the Fifth Ward Brewery. Was sort of on the campus area. That's also where my business partner Zach and I learned how to brew, was at his college house. So when we were looking up the names and things, I realized that there was this Fifth Ward Brewery about a block and a half from the house that we were brewing in the basement in there. Mm-hmm. And we figured, you know, what a perfect way to sort of bring that brewing history to the forefront here in Oshkosh, just with new techniques, you know. And, you know, we always kind of say it's pushing the boundaries, you know, and the limits of what beer can be, but like staying true to the traditional values.
Well, it's got to be, I mean, if you want to, we're talking about this a lot, the history of beer in Oshkosh. And I didn't realize until within the last year, you know, learning more about coming down here, the different breweries, the unbelievable legacy.
Yeah.
So that's got to be kind of cool. I don't know what generation you'd say you would be.
I don't even know.
But if it started, what, 1850s, Todd?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
goes way back.
You know what I mean? And you're that next generation. That's got to be a cool feeling.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, it's a real long line of, you know, people serving the community and
right.
know, providing spaces and, you know, beverages and things that the people love.
But some of it's in the exact same buildings.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
cool
yeah.
About
no,
Oshkosh.
That's pretty crazy. Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah, love it.
So you're working on new products, I take it, because isn't your industry a lot of new products?
Yes, definitely.
And do you want to share with us anything that you're...
Well, so as a matter of fact...
Jim wants in on it.
We're enjoying Craft Beer Week. One of my favorite things we do is, like, you know, like I mentioned, we make a lot of fruit beers and
right.
things like that.
Right.
We have our Hazy IPA, Hazy or Love It. That's our flagship beer. Really popular. I love it. But
tell me what that... It's Hazy?
Hazy IPA. So...
What does that mean?
So basically, going back to this bitterness thing, right? So Hazy IPAs, I think, were a reaction to those super bitter beers. And they're actually brewed in all the ways you wouldn't think you would supposed to be brewing an IPA technically from the brewing standpoint, but basically you're treating these hops, you want to get as much aroma out of them without imparting any bitterness to the beer.
Mm-hmm.
And just by doing that, the beers tend to be hazy in the long run, sort of after the package and things. But yeah, the idea is just big aroma, citrus, tropical, you know, fruit, whatever, minimal bitterness. So easy drinking, more pillowy on the mouthfeel and not as sharp and crisp.
Can we get started quick break? We come back. I want to talk a little bit about the grassroots way you and your buddy started this.
Sure.
I mean, we need to hear that story.
And then I want to just talk a little bit about bottles versus cans, because that was always a thing.
Yep, back after this.
If it wasn't for us trucks.
Well, there he sits in that play. Drinking coffee.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I was out on the West Coast trying to make a buck, and things didn't work out.
Hey, welcome back. Mind of the Mirror coming your way from downtown Oshkosh, 96.5 FM and 98.3 WISS. Of course, the Civic Media app and 97.9 FM WGBW. Got some quick text rolling in. Happy Trucker Thursday. Honk, honk. The dispensary says, morning, fellas. Listening in. We're with Ian Wenger, Fifth Ward Brewing here in Oshkosh. Really interesting story. And again, this is so fascinating. How big, how relatively young this whole business is, being in the mainstream. You know, they're always like the little places where the, you know, where the guy would have his own mug on the wall, you know, or a thing like that. But it's amazing how mainstream craft beer has become. And the cool thing about it, I think, is that, you know, like I know a lot of husbands and wives, they'll take like a summer vacation. They'll travel to different places, checking out all these different ones. They have their whole vacation planned.
Yep.
Craft beer here, craft beer there. It's become almost like a middle class cult type thing, hasn't it though?
Yeah.
How did that evolve?
We're part of the day trip cruise.
Yes.
I see, you know, it's the people coming up from the surrounding areas. And I think we kind of mentioned it. It's like we see people up from Milwaukee, you know, coming up, making a day out of it, kind of making the swing up through Green Bay and back down,
yep.
Making the loop.
Even through the UP, they do that.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's craft brew in every city. I think there's something like the average mayor, or like on average, no American is more than 10 miles away from a craft brewery or something now in America. Cool. So yeah, it's a there's a cultural shift around beer.
If I can ask, you have parents, I would imagine.
I do. Yeah, yeah, two of them.
Yeah, and when you were on your way to your biology degree, and you say, "Hey, I don't think I'm going to go to med school or whatever, but I'm going to make beer." How was that?
I never had a plan truly from what I was going to do out of school. So when my business partner, not at the time, but we were working together in a kitchen here in town, he approached me and said, "Hey, you want to start making beer with me?" I said, "Yeah, that sounds great. Why not?" And I can honestly say by maybe the second batch, we had already had our business plan outline sort of printed out. And every time we'd brew another batch, we were filling in little sections. Really very naively, I will, you know, up front there.
Okay, but I can never pronounce the word naivety or whatever. Naivety?
Yeah.
Okay, that is so wonderful for young people because people our age, it was just the opposite.
Yeah.
20 people tell you how you couldn't do it, why you couldn't do it, and you'd have to go over hurdle. And you guys, this generation just says, bleep it, let's just do it.
I was going to say, no one had told us no yet.
Exactly. So. And they never will.
Yeah. But yeah, so then, yeah, I had the business plan, really started hammering away. I got to give a lot of credit to the Small Business Development Center here at Oshkosh, UWO, utilizing their resources. They really kind of pointed us in the right direction and gave us the context we needed to sort of move the whole thing forward. You know, we went through a little blind date phase, we called it, where we brought our polished up business plan and just met people through whether it was the homebrew club here in town. Shout out to the SOBs, one of the oldest homebrew clubs in America.
Oh, wow.
Started in 1991. They got a really cool history, too. But so people from there, you know, everybody wants to start their own craft beer brewery as soon as you make your first batch of homebrew. Through family, I mean, eventually we ended up getting hooked up with a guy named Maurice Berglund here in town. And he was, you know, kind of became our third partner, facilitated a lot of what the startup stuff needed. And, you know, he saved the day,
he's
you know, when
guru.
We need it. Yeah, exactly. So, we really appreciate him. And then basically we'd bought the building down here downtown on South Main here in Oshkosh before we actually had the bank financing or anything lined up. We just didn't want to lose the opportunity to have a Main Street address and be able to refurb a building here in Oshkosh.
Awesome.
You know, kind of we were talking about that whole history of
that's
of
that brewing. Oshkosh vibe.
Yeah, you know, there's enough really neat, cool old buildings in this town that need love and
yeah,
you know, a purpose. And we saw an opportunity with this one that we're at now. So kind of jumped in there and we held on to it, cleaned it up a little bit for those about a year and a half before we actually secured the total financing that we needed to get opening. And then once we did that, it was all systems go. We spent about a year and a half doing all of our own demolition as much as we could. And then brought the contractor in, did the whole build out phase. We were looking at the tile on the back bar. I will say it's the one and only tile job we've ever done personally.
It looks great.
I had that picture up right on my Facebook here. It looked awesome.
Got my wife asking if we can tile the kitchen, you know, but, but, yeah.
Or
did
you open a box that you'll never get closed?
Yeah, right. But basically, you know, we had so much support from the city kind of leading up to that. You know, it's a new business in town, obviously, you know, the chamber and, you know, everybody else in town wants people to know what's happening here. So we had a lot of support from all, you know, just the businesses that were already around here. You know, we, part of that Small Business Development Center, we did a few programs through them and one of them required us to go and talk to 100 people in our industry and interview them and kind of just get to know our industry better. And we ended up literally going door to door here in Oshkosh to every bar and restaurant we could get in and you know, get the ear of the owner or the manager, or the beer purchaser or whatever, and really just get to know
just
their side.
Of
yeah, you know, so the by door. The by the time we opened, because we always knew we wanted to be a distributing brewery too, not just a tap room, but have beer out in kegs and cans at the grocery stores and the bars and things.
That's what it takes, right? I mean, you've said a lot in that last couple minutes, but I mean, that's awesome. Instead of just, I mean, that's just
a modern young business person plan.
Relationship building.
It is. Yep. I kind of teach you stuff, and that's what more businesses should do instead of just, you know, sitting around a table and this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think that's great.
Hit the streets.
Oshkosh did this, and I'm glad Maurice came into your life.
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Me too. Yeah.
Everybody needs one of those in their life.
Yeah.
And, it sounds like you guys were focused on the business and not, sometimes you didn't get, perfect get in the way of good enough. I mean, you got to keep moving, you know?
Well, right. And it's, we've talked a lot about how craft beer has evolved over the years. And I think it's one of those industries that evolves faster than most. Mm-hmm. You know, the tastes change really quickly.
You got to keep moving.
Right. You got to be able to pivot.
He did one thing, though, that some people would find as a negative.
Uh-oh.
What's that?
Most of the light beers I've drank all my life taste like Kool-Aid now.
Yeah.
After drinking something.
Oh, that's true. That's true. It's like, well, how did I ever enjoy this?
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
It's a one-way street, you know, and we always knew that. You don't go from drinking craft beer to, you know, I decided I don't like that anymore. I'm going to drink Busch Light. Yeah. Once you get out of that rut, you know, once you get out of that light beer rut, yeah. I think you tend to not enjoy this. And, I'll be honest, I drink Miller High Life if I'm out and about, but because you can't drink pints of fruit and sours all
day. One or two, is that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we do have those.
No, I don't know. I've done pretty well myself.
Todd's out of the equation.
Well, one more question. With the plethora of mm-hmm. Craft breweries, the distribution, I mean, there's Quick Trips, there's Festival, there's... Yep. Tell me about... And you can buy it at your place as well,
obviously. Yeah, so... I'll tell you, like, our angle from it. We knew before we opened that we wanted to be a distributing brewery. You know, the taproom was going to be key to getting our brand out there and getting people, our beer is enjoyed best in our taproom, right? It's as close as you'll ever get to where it's made. I think fresh beer is the best beer.
Right.
But we knew that we wanted to be in the market. We wanted to be bigger than just a taproom. So we went into it with a big enough system to be able to service the market and enough equipment that we could start off doing that. And we actually spent the first 5 years self-distributing.
Oh.
Built up our brand, building those relationships everywhere from, you know, Door County, Green Bay, down to Sheboygan, Manitowoc, and, as far east as sort of Wausau. And then,
that's awesome. Yeah. You guys are working hard. You deserve the success having.
Thanks for being a part of this. Ian Wenger, Fifth Ward Brewing, right here in downtown Oshkosh. Top craft pick. It's your last call for that. Thanks for being a part of this, and congratulations.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Love the future of what you guys are.
For WGBW and WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. In March, the Department of Homeland Security for the Trump administration announced the termination of the Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela parole program, which gives temporary legal immigration status to about 500,000 people throughout the country. That policy change prompted a protest in New London yesterday in front of Tyson Foods. Protester Emily Cepho says people here legally, who are living, working, and paying taxes, have been asked to self-deport by April 24th. More international students across Wisconsin have had their student visas revoked. Savannah Tomei Olson has more on that story.
Earlier this week, we reported that the federal government canceled the visas of 13 students and alumni on employment visas. That was just at UW-Madison. Now, the UW system confirms to me they know of at least 14 more students whose visas have been revoked. Those international students are all over the system. That brings the total to at least 27 students and alumni in Wisconsin who lost their visas. According to the New York Times, it's now happened to about 300 students across the nation. Until now, if a visa was canceled, that only meant people couldn't leave the U.S. and regain entry. They would have to apply for a new visa. They were usually allowed to keep their status as a legal resident, according to the Associated Press. But the outlet reports some students are also losing their status as legal residents. When that happens, they could risk being arrested by ICE if they do not leave immediately. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Manitowoc Public Schools have a new superintendent with a familiar face. Lee Tennis, who was appointed interim superintendent in September, will continue serving in a permanent capacity. The Manitowoc School Board will finalize his contract and vote on his hiring at the April 29th meeting. I'm Lisa Hale for WGBW and WISS News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
Roll on highway, roll on along, roll on daddy till you get back home.
Mind of the Mayor, coming your way from downtown Oshkosh. Always great to be down here in a beautiful morning. 38 in Green Bay, 37 Appleton, 36 Oshkosh, mostly cloudy with showers today on Trucker Thursday. We've had a great, great lineup. By the way, we were just talking with craft beer there with Ian from Fifth Ward Brewing of the top craft pick. He says, my favorite beers when I was in Germany, Banana Weissen and McZeri by Carlsberg. Thank you, Tori.
Isn't that German accent? Like
I'm not sure that.
I don't think that was close. No, that wasn't close.
I'm with
close.
Jim on this one, just,
John. You, yeah. Weissen?
Weissen. Okay, can I just ask a quick question?
When they had that...
How about a show of hands? Which of the people in this room were on stage at Oktoberfest in Frankfurt, Germany?
Okay, only one. Okay. And how many people who were on stage, who was on stage in Germany and said something that made no sense to the group in German?
Probably the whole time he was in Germany.
What did you say? You said, I am Germany.
I've been Deutschland.
Yeah. So I am Germany.
Yeah. I thought it was saying I love Germany.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Didn't work out very well.
Total silence. About 5,000 people just stared at me. And then somebody gave it a class. Oh, yeah, you had a very polite little class.
Guy off the stage.
Yeah. True story. Jim?
Oh, yes. So we have when we talk about nonprofits, and there's a lot of them out there, this is Autism Acceptance Month, and we have community leaders that step up on that. And Josh Kuhn from Northwest Mutual is the guy here in Oshkosh. That's nice of you to do both. Your business, at Northwestern, you're a financial planner, or you're the guy that we come to see and you help us retire rich, or what do you do?
Yeah, so I'm a financial advisor. My primary function is to help individuals, help families, help businesses, help groups determine where they're at financially, and then how to get to where they want to be the most efficiently. By the most efficiently, it's like, how do we make sure that whatever your goals are, you achieve them on time with the highest probability of success and the least amount of taxes along the way.
Has that gotten harder the years to come up with those plans? Or has it become harder to do that, to make these plans for families as time goes by and money's tougher to come by? Or what are you seeing?
A lot of what we start with is starting with financial basics. I mean, building a budget, managing cash flow. The demands on your average family, they've gotten a little bit more complex than they may have been years ago, but it's still the same basic principle. We have enough to pay our bills today. What do we have to set aside for tomorrow? And then where's our fund money? And if we can allocate the right amount in every situation, most folks can find some level of financial comfort, financial security, so long as we have that basic bedrock principles and we can adhere to them. Not always an easy task, but for most people, we can manage that. The trick is, are they willing to take those first steps?
So, Josh, if someone wants to come and see you over at Northwestern, what should they have? Like, what should their portfolio look like? You know what I mean? Like,
so my client base, my personal client base, is anywhere from the ages of my youngest is 19. Wow. And the oldest, I think, just turned 73. So there's no minimum requirement or anything that I have to work with somebody. And really, I don't want them to bring anything to that initial conversation other than an openness, a willingness to be open with me in having a conversation about, hey, where are you today? What are your goals for the future? And then my job is to help determine whether or not I'm a good fit to help them get there. Right. And if I'm not, that's okay. There are other entities, there may be other resources that they can use. They have to be comfortable working with me too, because if we're talking about making someone wealthy, well, that's your life savings we're talking about. You better trust me.
Right.
Is there too early of an age to talk to a person like you?
No.
I mean, you mentioned 19-year-old. I'm just saying, you know.
That individual tried to start a Roth IRA at 14 years old.
You know what?
His parents wouldn't participate. He tried to start contributing to his 401k through his employer at 18. He was too young for the employer's plan rules, so he came to me.
Wow.
And here's the interesting part about that case. Turns out he has and I won't give any specifics, but he's got a chronic illness that will shorten his life expectancy.
Oh, my gosh.
So he was trying to plan for retirement, and we adjusted the plan so that it wasn't retirement specific, because most retirement plans,
62 or whatever,
it's 59 and a half. Yeah. Before you clear some of those tax ramifications. So we altered his plan from retirement to, hey, here's some quality years before your condition starts to take the heaviest
toll. Wow. Fascinating.
So you're the Dave Ramsey of Oshkosh. I mean, I think the starting young, I think that's a good question, because I think sometimes people think, you know, married kids, house, that's when you should go see you. And you start younger. It's incredible, because you see these things, and I don't know how true they are, but had you done this, 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 and this, you know, a couple million dollars, that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And I just think it doesn't hurt to see someone at a young age. And like you said, sometimes there's a match and sometimes there may not be, but they've got to make a commitment to you as you will to them.
Yeah, well, and certainly make it clear, I'm not trying to solicit, you know,
no, I just think
middle school students or anything like that.
No. I just, no, even, you know, 25, 26, when kids get out and what an opportunity they miss if they're not just even playing in the 401k. I
mean, especially,
come on.
I've yet to meet the client that wished they had met me 5 years later.
Right, right. So anyway, I just think that's great.
That might be a new tagline for.
I like that.
Yeah,
because
yeah. It's, you know, I mean, I think we all, you know.
Things are kind of volatile, obviously, right. In the world totally. Right now. What does that do for the phone calls coming into you or the texts coming into you on a daily basis?
I actually had a client reach out to me. This is a couple of weeks ago and ask if their portfolio was Trump-proof. And I don't get into the politics
no,
of
no,
this.
No, I'm just saying it is what it is.
Because money is right. Green. It's not yep. Red or blue.
Yep.
And the type of planning that we do typically will transcend any individual environment, and that includes political environment, economic environment, market volatility.
Upheaval.
If you zoom out on the market from an investment standpoint and you look at it, the chart goes from the bottom left to the top right. But if you zoom in, there are some big peaks and valleys.
Absolutely.
The trick is understanding that that will happen. That will happen over your lifetime. That will happen over your retirement span. And if you have it baked into your plan, you don't know when it's going to happen. But if you have a hedge, you have an alternative, you have it, you understand that that's going to be a thing, then you don't have to sweat it when the market right. gets volatile. If you don't have that plan in place and you're strictly relying on your investments to always be on the up and up, that's when you get into trouble. That's when you get nervous.
I was with some friends, and I want to move on to autism, but I just want to say that I was with some friends this weekend, and this guy was just total meltdown. He's 63, he's a little younger than I am. And I said, did you sell it today? Is that what happened? Did you sell this? Did you sell your 401? Did you sell your retirement plan today? You know, and he didn't. I said, just, you know, hang in there. But, you know, it would have been a bad day for him to sell it. I will say that. But, I mean, I think you got to kind of stay the course a little bit. And yeah, I just, can you imagine those guys 100 years ago? It's like, he shouldn't have jumped. You know, man, I mean, you know, that's.
Is it ever too late to start? Is it ever too late? I'm sitting here 55 years old. Is it ever too late?
Well, that's not too late. I'll tell you that.
No. I mean, it will make things. If you have a specific goal, if you're at a certain age and your goal is 7 years from now and you're just starting today.
He wants to own his own craft brewery bar that nobody else is allowed to come to.
It's just me.
It's just his own, him and his buddies, and that's all it's going to be. That's his life.
If you join that Home Brewers Association, yeah. Here in Oshkosh, yeah. I heard they're fantastic. Yeah. Come down to the Brews on the Bay.
Yes.
They will have samplings from time to time.
There you go.
Oh, fantastic. You think he hasn't been? Come on.
But the answer to that is it's never too late, right?
No, it's never too late. Again, time is your friend, so the earlier you can begin, yeah. the more runway you give yourself to land the big plane. And we talk about retirement as one of the biggest planes. Why? You can't borrow for it. You got to pay in advance.
Right.
And it's probably the biggest purchase you make in your life.
Yeah. You know, factoring Social Security. I mean, you do that. That's your stuff.
Let me ask you something. I had a guy tell me one time. I can't remember which way it went. Is it more important to save for your retirement or for your kids' education?
Is it more important for
what,
you?
Yeah. What's the best thing to do? Because he said you can always take out loans for college education and you can't for your retirement.
I would say which is the more important for you. What's going to make you feel better?
Okay.
What's going to make you...
Personal choice then.
You have more time... Typically, for retirement, depending on how old you are when you have kids,
yeah.
you have more time for retirement. But one of our favorite answers in this industry is it depends. Why? Because some people want to retire, sit on their back porch in the rocking chair with the Arnold Palmer, watching the grandkids play in the yard. Some people want to retire 6 months out of the year in Boca Raton.
Yeah.
And there's a different price tag.
Got it. Got
for
it.
Both of those.
Got it. All right. Let's talk a little bit something else. So you're involved with the community here with a tremendous organization.
Well, he does services. Yeah. We're talking about Autism Acceptance Month this month.
Right.
And that's just something that you can help families kind of plan for as these individuals get older. Yeah.
So one of my specialties is working with families that have a loved one with special needs.
Yep.
Autism, other diagnoses.
And even like the young man you were talking about.
Right. You know, different abilities.
Right.
And one of the unique challenges that they face is that there's some additional consideration in their financial plans. Let me use autism as the example. The average cost to raise a child with autism from 3 to 18, according to the CDC, is $1.7 to $2.4 million.
Wow.
More than a typically developing child. Now, let's assume that that child reaches full independence in adulthood, you know, into financial living, et cetera, et cetera. If those parents raised that child and had to, you know, miss work and have additional transportation, care costs, et cetera, and it costs them $2 million out of their retirement portfolio, that makes it a pretty big challenge. Now what happens if that child never reaches full financial independence? Now you have one generation that is the financial horsepower to power two generations worth of financial plan for their entire lives. So that type of planning is pretty complex because we are also dealing with state and federal benefits that may or may not be impacted depending on how we, you know, pool resources, how we use these funds, how we plan. And so what I seek to do is help understand, again, their unique situation and how we can build that plan so that they reach those goals like any family wants to.
It's awesome. You got to be on top of state and federal benefits.
Oh, yes.
Because that changes. And Wisconsin, I wanted to give Wisconsin pretty good marks on that. Yes?
So I work with a lot of other entities because I'm no expert in everything. Nobody can be. Yeah. So we build a team of professionals with families that are in the situation for, you know, federal benefits, for care coordination, for all of those things.
Outstanding. Really great stuff. Stick with us. We got a lot more to talk about. Josh Kuhn, Northwest Mutual. And some of the great things you're doing around this area are just, you know, in Green Bay and Oshkosh, they're two different communities. But the one thing is, man, there are people like you that don't want to just sit back in their business. They want to help out the less fortunate. So this is great. Stay with us. Be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Well, I pulled out of Pittsburgh, rolling down that eastern seaboard. I got my diesel wound up and she's a-running like I never before. There's a speed zone ahead with all right. I don't see a cop in sight.
Hey, welcome back. My name is the mayor, coming your way from downtown Oshkosh right now. WISS, of course, the Civic Media app, and WGBW 97.9 in Green Bay. Once again, this afternoon, Milwaukee Brewers taking on the Colorado Rockies, 135 on WISS. We're with a very interesting fella, Josh Kuhn, Northwestern Mutual. You're opening our eyes up on a lot of things, which is fascinating. Todd, you got a text there?
We did. Mandy just texted and said, I appreciate this guest. I've learned so much in the last 10 minutes. Thank you. How can I reach out?
Well, I appreciate that. I can certainly share my contact information directly. I don't know if that's okay over the air.
Absolutely.
Go for it.
You're the expert.
I give out mine all the time.
You can reach me at joshua.kuhn, that's joshua.kuhn at nm.com, or you can call me directly, 920-831-6442.
Nice.
We'll put that in our...
But we're talking about some of these afflictions that no one on the mainstream, I mean, we hear about, you know, some of the big ones, and no disrespect to anybody, but I mean, you know, the CPs of the world, the cancers of the world, whatever. And you're telling us about these other afflictions that people have that we've never heard of. The parents had never heard of them, but they've got this, you know, to deal with. As much as they love their child, it's still something else that they didn't plan for when these two newlyweds, you know, got together, whatever. How is it dealing with those types of, I almost don't want to say clients, that seems cold, but those kind of people.
So in any situation, everybody's life sends them some unexpected curveballs. I mean, I had a child young. I was in college. I got married young. I got divorced. And none of that was actually ever part of the plan, so to speak. These families that have someone that has a different ability or has a diagnosis that's going to impact them for life.
Right.
It tends to be a lot longer, you know, time frame that we have to consider. And some of the conversations in these households get pretty personal. I've had a few couples, when we're talking money, and I've had a couple couples that argue in front of me about money. Not uncommon. I have had some tears shed because we're having a conversation about, with your child's condition, do you expect them to outlive you? Because as a parent, you want your kids to outlive you. You never want to
nothing
bury
worse
your child.
Than the other way, right?
But if you have a child with Down syndrome, for instance, or some of these other
you know,
conditions, their life expectancy is much shorter than a typically developing person, and that's going to impact
who's going to take care of them down the road,
or who's going to take care of you if you need care in an advanced age and they're not capable or even here to do it.
Boy,
so that's stuff I didn't even think
neither.
Of.
I mean, conversations you just don't have, you know. Wow, and you're in it, man. You're up to your neck in this. That's all the credit in the world to you. And I know it's your business, that's your job, it pays your rent or whatever, your mortgage or whatever, but it's still, you could have taken a different path that wasn't so you know, gut-wrenching in some ways.
Well, if I may, I had a career before I started this practice. I was in automotive. I mentioned having a child young. I needed to make money. I sold cars for a living.
Okay.
And that was 15 years of my work in life. And it paid the bills. I was pretty successful in the automotive industry, but I didn't find it fulfilling.
Right.
And at the end, I needed to have my work fulfill me. So I found something that I can help people in a tangible way. The look on someone's face when you can tell them you thought 10 years from now is your retirement, and you can work another 10 years, don't get me wrong, but we can get it done in two.
Wow.
Where
were you 10 years ago?
The weight off their shoulders. Yeah. Or hey, even if something catastrophic happens to you, your family's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
How does that make someone feel? Yeah. That's what I do what I do.
That's awesome, man.
And I think the other thing you bring to the table is we got to have this conversation.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, they're uncomfortable, but you feel a lot better after you have it. And I think that's really, really, really healthy. I think some people don't have it, and I wish we'd talk about this. We're going to talk about it right now. And I think that's fine.
Bring it to the surface. Huh?
Right.
About 2/3 of American adults, believe that they should be doing something more or better or different to improve their financial state. But only about 22% of those folks ever actually reach out to talk to a financial professional about what to do.
There's a few things like that. They would like to plan what's going to happen when I die, and they don't want to talk about that. I think that's almost higher than that, like almost an 80-20 thing where, well, I need to do that, but I haven't done it. Well, so anyway, I think that's great that you do two things. I mean, you're a little bit of a counselor, and you're obviously a very strong financial planner.
But it comes from the heart. And that's when we ever talk to somebody, like yesterday when we had somebody on, remember Todd? And I said, where does that come from? Because it was the military thing. Who was it? Remember, Jim?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, wait a minute.
Most people we have
sleep
on
in
here,
heavenly
they don't
peace.
Sleep in heavenly. Yeah, he builds beds for kids that are home or don't have beds, okay? And we were talking about what they do for veterans and different things like that. And what he lost his wife. And it's like there's got to be that certain something on the inside that really powers you, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's great what you're doing. And that's awesome. We need people like you in this world, you know. And
the guy from Verizon was the other
he
one
did that
yesterday.
Too.
That's correct.
Remember his dad was a Vietnam vet, and they just wiped out $3 million in debt
for
veterans.
Right. That's right.
No good stuff. So,
Jim, I got to ask, it's been bugging me here looking at him. Who does he look a little bit like? I hope this is okay.
He's heard it before because he's laughing.
From a TV show that you and I both like.
Office?
Suits. The one guy who's a little bit mean to the young guy. You know what I mean? You ever watch Suits?
I can't say that I have.
Come on.
Yeah, a little bit.
Show.
A little
you know
bit.
What I mean?
He's a little thinner, though, but he's.
But this is great, man. Yeah. And these are the kind of people that you need in a community to make community great. And I really, truly mean that.
You help people and, you know, just I hope you feel as good as we do just interviewing you. Yeah, this is good stuff.
I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you very much. Once again, Ian Kuhn, thank you so very much. Oh, sorry. I said Ian. I'm sorry. Josh Kuhn. I had the wrong name. Still got beer on my mind here.
It's really good friends call me Ian.
Josh Kuhn, thanks so much for being here, buddy.
Thank you.
Thanks for what you do. Mind of the Mayor, back after this.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.